it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Tonight, the Orioles and the Boston Red Sox in Game 2 of a four-game series. Last night, 11 innings. And in the game last night, we saw 19 pitchers used. It is September baseball, after all. Buck Showalter and the manager's report right after this.
Rocco Bocco with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Last night, September baseball rearing its ugly head again. The Red Sox used 26 players, including 9 relievers, in winning in 11 innings. And Buck, is that just, again, another example of how much the game changes in September compared to if this game had been played in April or May?
Well, obviously, Rock, it's, you know, I'm not going to get into it. I think everybody knows how people on the field feel about it. But, you know, we're playing by the same rules, though. So, you know, I think it is something you just have to figure out a way to deal with it. It's part of it. The match, you're just picking poisons as you go through the course of a game, knowing that they have a lot of counteract moves that you normally don't have. I mean, obviously, the other thing is you don't really get penalized for having to use a lot of pitchers or getting a short start out of your starter. You don't get penalized the next day. But it is what it is. We're all playing by the same rules, not like someone's got an advantage.
Dylan Bundy, 3 scoreless innings, and the game got away from him in the fifth. He's at 169 and 2/3 innings now. Is there any thought at all to whether he needs to be shut down, or you can just go ahead and continue to try and give him that little bit of extra rest to get him through the rest of the season?
Well, obviously there's thought given to all of our pitchers, especially Dylan, about things like that, and we're on top of it. We've been on top of it since the season ended last year, and you know, sometimes the other team's pretty good. I thought Dylan got away with some pitches early on in the game. Everybody looks up there and sees a zero, and they think, well, that was good. I thought he got away with some pitches that kind of came back to be true as the game wore on.
Miguel Castro, he's been scored upon his last 5 outings. He did have a scoreless inning with 2 strikeouts, or retired the side in order, and then, of course, gave up the runs. 10 walks in those last 5 outings. Are you seeing something different as far as the control not being as sharp as it was?
Well, obviously, if we knew exactly what it was, we'd try to fix it, but there are some adjustments that he has to make sometimes. It's a big body that has to get in sync and to be effective. He's another guy that's, you know, at a stage in a season. It's not always the innings. It's, you know, some guys are pitching in September for the first time in their lives. So, you know, you try to keep that in mind, but other teams' pitchers are in the same boat. Other teams' hitters are in the same boat. We're not playing by, you know, different seasons, and it's part of playing up here. It's important that guys go through it.
Rocco Bocco back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Lefty Drew Pomerantz on the mound tonight for the Red Sox. Last 22 starts, 13-2, 2.73 ERA. Is that just kind of an example, again, of the kind of depth that this team has in its rotation? Because you don't hear a lot about him compared to some of those other guys.
Well, he's certainly well-known. You know, the starters next 2 nights are in the top 5 in ERA in American League, which would have them leading the National League. So that gives you an idea what type of – that's why they're in first place, Rock. They continue to run quality starting pitching out there against you every night.
Now, Pomerantz, lefties hit .222 against him in his career, but it's .295 this season. So when you're looking at lineup, matchups, whatever, how much stock do you put into what's happening this year compared to – the bigger sample size?
Well, keep in mind which left-handers are staying in the lineup. It's not some utility platoon guy. You know, these are frontline left-handed starters that play against everybody that are in the lineup because they hit left-hand pitchers well. And that stuff's various, small sampling, so you do what's best for your team.
Hey, Buck, finally, the Fall Instructional League starts on Monday. For people who aren't really familiar with it, can you explain exactly what that entails and what the benefit is of sending that many players to Sarasota?
Well, it's a different situation this year because of the hurricane. It's going to start later, and there's not going to be as many games. In fact, there's a couple of clubs that scrapped it because of the hurricane, but obviously we aren't going to. And it's, you know, what happens is the games are kind of secondary. You know, you're trying to put into play. It gives you a chance to kind of, I don't want to say experiment, but look at some things that you would like to have done, maybe a position change, maybe they take one, they have player plans, in other words, that come from the Aberdeen manager and coaches and Rover instructor and say, here's something this guy needs to work on to get better at and he needs to do to be a better prospect. It may be stealing a base, it may be getting a changeup over. And so with the games, not the winning obviously is important, but the end game is about trying to attack the shortcomings of players. They all have talent, and they all have shortcomings, as do guys in the major leagues. So you're able to really attack it in the morning and in the afternoon, and the game is almost secondary. And statistically, what a guy does, you just want to feel like you're attacking their weaknesses.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Jim Hunter. He's got the warm-up show next on the Orioles Radio Network.
On a beautiful night at Camden Yards, Orioles and Red Sox game two in this three-game series. And while the major leaguers are on display here, a lot of the minor league prospects are getting set to begin the Instructional League. Up next, we'll chat with Brian Graham, the Orioles Director of Player Development. Brian Graham up next on the Orioles Radio Network. As the Orioles continue their homestand tonight, middle game of three against the Boston Red Sox, the Orioles Minor League Instructional League is about to get going in Sarasota. And joining us now, Brian Graham, the Director of Player Development, who will run the camp in Sarasota. Now, Brian, what is unique about the coaching that the minor league prospects that will go to this camp will get?
Well, it's so specific and it's so individualized. We just finished our first day of meetings with the players individually, and we sit down and we outline for them exactly what we're going to work on and what we're going to try to accomplish, you know, over the next 3.5 weeks. And every pitcher and every player has a specific individual plan, whether it's working on a double play feed or a backhand play or hitting a breaking ball or could be base stealing. There's just so many things that each player needs to work on individually. So it's so much different than any other spring training during the season because the individual instruction is so specific.
All right, so along those lines then, let's say you may have a position player who has speed but doesn't have the knack yet for stealing bases. Would that be something that you'd bring that player down and say, okay, all you're going to concentrate on while you're here is getting a jump and stealing a base?
Well, absolutely. And the good thing about Instructional League, you can put that player in the game anytime a runner gets on first base. You can just put him into steal base. You can put him into steal second base or put him on second base to steal third base, and you can do it every inning. So it's not like a regular game where you have to stay in the batting order and, you know, a guy goes into the game and he can't, you know, go into another position. It's, you really have the ability to do a lot of good things. And I know last year we brought Steve Wilkerson down just to hit. He didn't even work on his defense. He just came down and worked on his hitting. And you look at the results this year, and it was just such a productive endeavor for us. And Jay Gonzalez did a lot of base running last year where he probably stole bases probably 4 or 5 innings every game. So it's a pretty neat program.
Now, you have 49 players gathered there, including the players that are listed as rehab players. How does the organization determine which players you believe will benefit and which players you invite?
Well, the good thing is for us, like with guys like Ryan Ripken, we have Ryan Ripken down at the Instructional League, and we're doing a complete overhaul with his swing. And he's a guy that specifically we have one plan in place for, and it's going to be a big benefit for him. Ben Brazell, who was so productive in the New York Penn League as a catcher out of Wake Forest that really swung the bat so well, he's going down there just to be a catcher. We just need him to refine his catching skills. So, you know, each guy has his own plan. It's really a productive program for these kids.
Now, the minor league system this year, Brian, overall it was an outstanding season. You had two teams go to postseason. You had two league MVPs that were Orioles. Baseball America, the AA All-Star team, you put two of the three outfielders on that team with Hayes and DJ Stewart. And keep in mind, that's three AA leagues and you only get three spots. The organization has to be pretty pleased with the development and the fact that now, nationally, you're starting to get some attention because you are developing players.
You know what, and it's sometimes it's fair, sometimes it's not fair, but we have really good players, and we have guys that, you know, we had two batting champions. We had a guy that led the Eastern League and a guy that led the Carolina League in batting average, which is really impressive, and a guy that led the Carolina League in home runs and RBIs. I mean, we have guys that are productive. We have guys that are good players. We have guys that are going to help us in the big leagues, and I laugh all the time and say, hey, Jonathan Scope never was on a 100 list, And Caleb Joseph was never on a top 100 list. And, you know, Michael Givens was never on a top 100 list. And you're talking about guys that are, you know, going to get votes for the American League MVP. So sometimes those things are a little skewed. You just don't know how to read into them. But it is nice to get some recognition. And we had some position players have great years.
All right, finally, one of the strengths of the organization, I believe, is how you challenge prospects. And I'll use Austin Hayes as an example. First player from last June's draft to play in a major league game. He played at Aberdeen last year. You skip Delmarva, you send him to Frederick, dominates there, goes to Bowie, better pitching, more experienced pitching, does even better there, and now he's got a three-game hitting streak in the big leagues. Do you find that players react positively when you challenge them to get them closer?
You know, most of them do, but the decision's based not just on their physical ability and their fundamental ability and their baseball ability. The decision's based on a player's maturity. You take a player like Manny Machado at 19 years old and you put him in the big leagues. The answer to that question was Manny was so mature and he knew how to handle success and failure. Austin Hayes knows how to handle success. He knows how to handle failure, and he's a tough kid. And the kids that are tough, that can handle situations, they can handle pressure, they're the ones that you can push harder, push faster, push quicker, and they're the ones that are going to succeed. And there's a track record of history that goes along with these kind of players where you can see that here's the ones that make it, here's the ones that struggle. And Austin Hayes, you know, when we talked about him, a lot of the conversation was based on him being a tough kid and him being able to handle pressure and him being able to handle failure and
success. Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards in the loss column again tonight. Red Sox have taken the first two in this three-game series, and tomorrow night they've got Chris Sale as they try to go for a three-game sweep. They got like their chances in that finale tomorrow night. Red Sox, who continue to stay on top in the Eastern Division, at the moment they have a 3.5-game lead over the Yankees. The Yankees, though, they lead Minnesota in their game at Yankee Stadium in the late innings. So Jim Hunter will keep you posted on those developments. The Red Sox have now won 10 of the last 13 games they played, and their magic number now to clinch a playoff spot is down to 3. Red Sox, who have had the second-best record in baseball since the trade deadline way back on July 31st, only the Indians have been better. Yeah, what a ball game! Well pitched, certainly. Kevin Gausman got off to a real good start. He got him 1-2-3 in the first inning, and then he came back and he got him 1-2-3 in the second inning. And the 1-2 pitch. And a changeup, it looks like. No, just took something off the fastball to get a swing and a miss and picks up a strikeout. So Kevin Gausman, his second consecutive 1-2-3. He's gotten 6 outs on 22 pitches early in this game. So there you go. Then he came back in the third, and again he got him 1-2-3. So Kevin Gausman began his game tonight with 3 perfect innings. Now, in the bottom of the third, his left-handed Drew Pomeranz had also held the Orioles scoreless until the third with 2 outs and the bases empty. Manny Machado would double. So he's out there at second base with 2 outs. It brought up Jonathan Scope.
2-1 the count. Manny at second. The pitch to Scope is swung on. Ground ball. Base hit left field. It gets past Devers. Manny around third, heading to the plate. Here's the throw from Benintendi. The tag. He is out at the plate. And Benintendi does it again. His 10th outfield assist. And Machado is cut down at the plate. A good send by Bobby Dickerson. It took a perfect throw to get him. And Benintendi on the money to Vasquez for the tag.
Yep, you got to go in that situation, and that was the early indication tonight that runs might be at a premium in this game, and they certainly were. Kevin Gausman came back with a 1-2-3-4.
And the 0-2 pick, swing and a miss. He got him with a splitter. Gausman is on his game tonight. That is 5 strikeouts. He has retired all 12 Red Sox to bat in the game here tonight.
There you go. Then in the fifth, he got the first 2 batters. So that's Kevin Gausman was perfecto until there were 2 outs and the bases empty in the fifth, and that's when Rafael Devers came up to swing a bat. I mean, I did tweet out that Kevin Gausman does have no-hit stuff.
So it's out there for the public.
And so far, I'm not lying. The count 2-2. Devers digs in. Gausman delivers. Rafael, fly ball, right field, on the run. Austin Hayes, he's not going to get to it. He plays that thing off the wall and then guns it back into second base. And now they throw in behind Devers, but he gets back at first. And there goes the no-no. A long single off the scoreboard in right field. Yeah, there was. Yeah, the Red Sox in the fifth, 2 outs, finally got a base runner. After that, Kevin Gausman would strike out Travis to end the inning. And then came the bottom of the fifth inning with Chris Davis, the leadoff hitter in the fifth. And that's when crime was committed at Camden Yards. And now Chris Davis, he launches one to deep right center. Way back is Bradley. He's going to jump up and he caught it. He caught the ball, and he brought it back in. Bradley got to the back of the warning track. He timed it beautifully. He jumped up and came down with the ball. He brought it back. And the big fella, somebody called the cops because Chris Davis just got robbed by Jackie Bradley Jr. Wow. That's exactly what happened. Chris Davis, now, in the last 3 years, has been robbed of home runs more than any other major leaguer. I think 9 times now he's been robbed in the last 3 years. So it remained nothing-nothing. Kevin Gausman gave up a walk and a single in the sixth, but there was no damage done. He came back with a 1-2-3 seventh. And then in the seventh inning, Red Sox got another base hit, but Gausman knew what to do. 2-1 to Bradley. Kevin Gausman again will set and delivers. There goes the runner. No, he's faking. Little chopper up the middle. Beckham has it. Steps on second. On to Davis to get the double play. Little bounder up the middle. Rajah Davis had taken off for second base, and then he put on the brakes. And the ball was hit right back up the middle, and when Beckham gloved it, he was right on the bag. After that, the rest was easy, and Kevin Gausman has now induced a double play ball, and tonight he's gone 8 scoreless innings. Yep, at that point, he'd thrown 106 pitches. That was it for Kevin Gausman. Eventually, this game would go again, second consecutive night, all the way to inning number 11, and the Red Sox found a way to win, or you might say the Orioles found a way to lose. Brock Holt against Brad Brock began the 11th inning with an infield single. Jackie Bradley then into a force out, out number one. And then Bogaerts a ground out, out number two, with a runner at second base. Benintendi came up to hit. Brock walked him, and he walked him on 4 pitches. And then Mookie Betts came up to hit, and Brock walked him. So the Red Sox had the bases loaded. Brad Brock was having difficulty finding the plate. And then Mitch Moreland came up to hit. This was at a time when Richard Blyer, the left-hander, was out there getting loose. He was ready. But Buck Showalter made the decision. He stayed with Brad Brock. Moreland came up to hit. And again, Brock, well, this time he found the plate, but in a weird way. So Brock again, bent over at the waist, looks in, says yes. And he's ready. He delivers. Look out, a wild pitch. Goes right past Castillo. Here's Bradley coming in to score. On a wild pitch in the top of the 11th inning, the Red Sox have taken a 1-0 lead. Everybody moves up. Now Brad Brock, after back-to-back walks, he uncorks a wild pitch, and that's how Boston takes the lead. That's what happened. On a wild pitch, they took the 1-0 lead. Now, the Orioles in the bottom of the 11th inning with 2 outs and the bases empty. Adam Jones on a ground ball to third base wound up at second base on a Devers throwing error for 2 bases. So the Orioles had the tying run at second base with 2 outs. Trey Mancini the hitter, and the game ended quietly. Adam Jones off the bag at second base with 2 outs. Would be tying run. Barnes will set. Mancini waits. And the pitch. Little comebacker on a broken bat. Barnes has it. Easy toss. And the ball game is over. And for the second consecutive night, the Red Sox win a ball game in the 11th inning. Tonight they do it on an infield single, a couple of walks, and they win the darn thing on a wild pitch. Now the Orioles find yet another way to lose. Yeah, same 2 teams again tomorrow night. They take on Chris Sale. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
So a tough loss for the O's as Boston wins it 1-0 in 11. The winning run coming in on a wild pitch. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
First of all, how impressed were you with Gausman?
Kind of he was outstanding. That's about as good as it gets against, you know, a team operating on all cylinders, giving you their best shot. Kevin was every bit as good. You'd like to... like to get a W out of that, obviously. It's a good outing. Good outing by Darren. And, you know, Brad was, he had a short, 7 pitches inning before, and, you know, just had 1 pitch we couldn't corral.
Have you seen something similar with Gausman that you saw maybe last year?
Well, he's been pitching, you know, he's gone through some good games. You know, we talked about it earlier. You know, you look around baseball, you're like 5th in American League is a 3-something ERA. And, you know, he and Dylan especially have been, you know, pretty solid for us for quite a while. Really speaks volumes of the way they've battled through the season and been there for us every time we needed them.
Since the middle of the game yesterday, the bats kind of quieted down. Is it their pitching or what?
Yeah, it's kind of like some of the things we talked about in New York. When you get the combination of, you know, not operating on all cylinders offensively and really, really good pitching, I mean, you know, those things can happen. But kept hoping we'd scratch one across. You know, left fielder made a real good throw and couldn't push that one across.
You guys have done it to other teams as well, but that catch by Jackie Riley Jr.
Yeah,
Rob Davis.
It's a play that speed allows you to make. You know, he gets there in time, and you know those plays. You know, I'm a big believer in the greatest players ever were during their era, and the players now. The things that they do, I think also that because we see every highlight of every play, maybe guys in bygone years were doing it, just didn't get to see it as much as we do now with the media, the way it's set up to show everybody everything. But I don't think anybody thought that he wasn't going to make a good bid for it. I hate to say it, almost looks routine in some ways, but for him especially, he makes a lot of great plays if it stays in the park and some that might go out, I'm sure. It would have gone out. I'm not sure. I'm sure it probably would have.
Joe's hand going to be okay?
We just did a precautionary x-ray. He looks fine, but, you know, it's another, you know, two strikes. You got your nose stuck out there. I believe it was two strikes, and you know, you take that ball off the hand and continue to play and actually, you know, had a tough at-bat, the last at-bat to get to second base, even though they helped us a little bit. But, you know, they do have to hurry a little bit when a guy's going that hard down the line as Adam does. How many ground balls we have third base tonight? It's something to do with the Pomerantz cutter and he's a good one. I was looking at the pitcher earlier today that they gave up for him, the young pitcher. Hope he turns out well because they got a good one.
It's been a tough stretch for you guys, but your last game in New York and these two, at least, I mean, to you, show you that this team is trying as hard as it can to make something of it.
Of course. You know, our guys, that's never a question for me and a question for each other. They hold each other to a high standard. And that's not going to be, you know, they're very frustrated right now. You know, can you imagine grinding like our guys have since February and not being able to push a run like that across in some of these games when we've, you know, pitch well, where that's been a challenge for us. That's, you know, I feel for them because I know how much it means to them. Okay, thank you.
No post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Red Sox pull it out 1-0 in 11 innings. The winning run, the only run of the game, scoring on a wild pitch by Brad Brock with the bases loaded and two down in the 11th inning.